In the readings from Colossians chapter 3, which is on page 954. Sorry, 955.
Colossians 3, 1 to 14.
Yep. Thanks, Neil. Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against one another, against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do ask today that you would speak to our hearts and minds and think about how to show our love for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm wondering if anyone in the room has ever played hide and seek before. Good, we've got a few people proudly admitting they do, and others that are like, oh yeah, probably, yeah. So, you know, find the best place, and some of the younger participants, you know, might use the same place again and again, whether it's behind the hamper or under the coffee table, eyes closed if you can't see me. If I can't see you, you can't see me. But there are often a few, you know, telltale signs of where someone is: a bulge in the curtains or a wardrobe door slightly cracked open, because as C.S. Lewis says, you should always leave them open a little bit when you go into a wardrobe. Occasionally, though, it is hard to find someone. And in our house, I don't know exactly when it came up. It was some time ago. My kids are now grown up now, so it was probably at least a couple of months ago, where there was... we made some kind of agreement that, like, and I don't know who started it, it was getting too hard, the game was going on, couldn't find the person. Make a sound like a chicken was the call. So somewhere in the house you hear a little burp, burp, and then you could get a little bit of a clue as to where someone was hiding. Happy to oblige, to make a sound like a chicken, because at that moment, it's a little taste of victory. Like you have meant that you've found a place that is kind of so safe, so secure, that someone else needs clues to help come and find you. And you will actually get the glory, because it probably means you're the last person found hiding, so you're going to win. If you are hidden in Christ, there will be some tells, some clues that let you and other people know that you have found the perfect hiding place, and that is in the Lord Jesus, and it is to his glory, and it is and will be to your glory. Let's have a look at verse 1 of Colossians 3. What does it mean to be hidden in Christ? Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. God's word tells us that if you trust Jesus, you are hidden in Christ. You are already in heaven with Jesus because when he died, we died with him. And when he rose to life, we rose with him. And he is in the most secure place there can be, which is right next to our Heavenly Father, the one who made and created the world through the Son, through the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to be hidden in Christ? Well, to be protected from danger, whether that's physical danger, whether it's shame, whether it's worries about the future, worries about our relationship with God. Jesus has secured our future. Even though we may be experiencing some of those things, knowing our future is secured gives us great comfort to be hidden there. And back in chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, it talks about this transformation that has been made. We've moved from the kingdom of darkness, which this world is in, to the kingdom of his Son, which is what we're to think about, things above. Verse 13 of chapter 1, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." So we have been saved and are now protected from Satan's dominion, the earthly way of things. We've been saved from our sin, which leads to eternal death and judgment. We've been saved from God's judgment, and we have been saved from Satan's accusations that we don't live up to Jesus' standards. So what does it mean to be hidden in Christ? Well, firstly, take stock of our surroundings, our relation and logical. Verse 1, it says to set your heart on heaven. And then verse 3, it says to set your mind on heaven. Verse 1, set your heart on things above, on Jesus, who is in a position of power, seated at God's right hand. This is the same Jesus who died for you and rose for you, taking God's judgment and showing his power to save you from death by rising from the dead and being in God's presence as our special king. So what a heart moment for us to reflect on what Jesus has done for us and connected us to him. In verse 3 then it says to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It is time to think through what your life will look like now that it has been transformed. And here's where we come to the clues of your hiding place coming out in your life. What is hidden in Christ revealed look like? And there'll be those tells that come out from where you are hiding, where your heart is, where your mind is. What's the logic behind your life choices going forward? They will be shown in your actions. If you think about it for a moment, where do you think the good life is? Where is your happy place? Where do you find security? That will determine your actions. And there's, in the world around us, on earth here, there are a whole range of different places where people think your security, your happiness, your good place would be, and that'll lead to different kinds of actions. Paul says that some behaviours need to be put away because they lead to God's anger and judgment, and that's the concern there. So, from verse 7 onwards, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator." Get rid of perhaps what Paul is saying is the freelance way of doing things. What do I mean by that? Well, you have a desire for the best, then whatever the journey is, whatever it'll take to get to the destination that you think the good life is, whatever you think your kind of picture of how you would create the ideal life for yourself, your version of heaven, whatever it takes to get there. All of these things mentioned in the list that we just read could be used as little power plays to move towards what you want. How do you get what you want? By your own resources, your own shrewdness and cunning. Well, the things that Paul's listed out are quite the arsenal that people can grab and justify doing, because the end justifies the means. Imagine the scenario, like about getting a promotion at work. Perhaps you're thinking this is the most important thing for you at the moment, and it would realise your ideal version of creating heaven on earth. Looking through the list, what are some of the things that you would and wouldn't do as you went for it? If you think it's the most important thing to get, looking through the list of different things there, would you sleep with the boss to get the promotion? Would you slander your colleagues to get the promotion? Would you indulge in obscene talk because you think it would endear you to your colleagues and also to your boss? Would you lie in order to get your promotion? Let's imagine that someone in the job application process, they have some dirt on one of the other people in the job application process. And the truth is that dirt means that they will be unsuitable for the job, and they write an anonymous tip off to the selection panel for that. This might hit closer to Kane. What is the right thing to do in that if you know that? If you know this dirt that it might be on another person, how would you do that? Would a Christian do that? How would you do that? How would you participate at that moment? This might hit us closer to home. What is the right thing to do in that situation? There is a certain level of truth there, but it's also personal gain there. And how do you go about bringing the truth out in a way that is ethical? It's hard when people get things that they don't deserve, and it would be great perhaps if they got a taste of their own medicine. Is that how you might feel? Well, why should we miss out because of that? It's easy to rage, and that's why Paul says in verse 7, as we think about these kinds of things, that we think maybe we should reach for that lever to get what we want. Paul says, verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Paul knows that in some ways these ways of going about our life to get what we want are kind of second nature to us. A little bit of our DNA is in that. And Paul wouldn't need to tell us today if it were not part of our DNA. But we have been saved from them. And as he says in verse 11, he says that Jesus unites us. It is not every person for themselves trying to create their own safe and successful space. Verse 11, here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Jesus has broken down some of those tribal barriers. Looking after your own, looking after yourself. So where is your mind at? What is your life's focus? Where is your heart and mind at? Verses 8 and 9, Paul says, to put off the old self and put on the new self. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul's saying put on all these things, but we need to be careful about this list because it can lead to kind of religious thinking, like a ticking the box kind of thinking. If I have the reward of heaven that I'm working towards, if I can do all these things, follow the rules, make up for my sin, maybe I'll get there. And last week, as Heidi went through that bit in Colossians 2, we heard about kind of extra bogus religious practices which were somehow meant to get people closer to God and get that rewarding life that we're looking for, to get security, to find security, the best life. But it is neither that freelance way of using all your resources to get what you think you need, nor the way of doing all these things in order to get a reward from God. The way that is the secure way is the hidden in Christ approach. Our heart, our mind are shaped by the security of Jesus that will overflow into a changed life. So we need to have this in mind when Paul talks of changing our behaviour, changing our outfits. With the religious and the freelance, it's kind of like fake it till you make it kind of idea. If you kind of set your mind on those things and then just work towards it and hopefully you'll succeed it. But Paul says you're not to dress for success, but you're to dress because of success. The success of Jesus in securing you in heaven is the real game changer. So when we look at these two little sections there, verses 5 to 9 and verses 12 to 14, we've got put off things and put on things. So it's like a bit of a clothing kind of outfit kind of imagery there, to put these off and then put these on. I don't know, like I'm sure that people in the room have got different ways of what they do with clothes they take off, like when they're... you know, they're undressing. Some of you might use the basket. Some of you may just shove it under the bed. Other people might pick an area of the house of your choice to leave a pile of dirty clothes in the house. And I can see that there's probably a range of people in the place to do it. Paul doesn't tell us exactly where to put these things, by the way, so there's freedom in that. But he does say, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the Creator. Here it's taking off things that we know are not good for us or for others. Changing your outfits to match your heart and mind. We are then to put on the new outfit to show where our security and joy are to be found. So in verses 12 to 14, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these things put on love which binds together. We live knowing our backgrounds, that we are prone to doing the wrong thing. But Jesus has brought us together in him, hidden us together in him. It's easy to read this passage in two ways, which I think both ways are right. Like one is just talking to you about what you do, but also what we do together as a community of people who are hidden in Christ together. He has united us and changed our status, and we change the way we behave because of the logic of who we have become. So when we think before about there's the freelance way and the religious way of doing it, perhaps this is a good way to think about it. If you trust in Jesus, you have your heavenly citizenship papers. You are already a citizen of heaven, a citizen of heaven while living on earth. So therefore, you are now to have your mind set on things above, not the things on earth. Imagine, and some of you may not need to imagine this, you have become a citizen of a country where you perhaps have never been. You filled out all the paperwork, been stamped successful. You may even have a passport or whatever, yet you have never been to the place where you are going to go. You are granted citizenship, and in a few months before you go, what are you going to do? Well, I'm guessing you'll probably start reading up about, if you haven't done already, the country you're going to go to. And many of us kind of know this a little bit about when we might travel. We might get the Let's Go or the books and start reading about what people do in the country and how you want to kind of respect them and fit in and stuff like that. So for some of you, let's imagine the country is Australia that you're coming to, because we're here. I didn't really think too deeply about that. But maybe for some of you, it means you'll start, maybe you might start wearing shoes in the house, because Australians seem to wear shoes in the house. Or maybe you might start calling the local shops, the corner store or the convenience store. If you come from New Zealand, maybe you were calling the dairy before. So you might start changing the way you talk, the way you behave. Someone from the UK might you know, have to go, I've got to say Vegemite, I can't say Marmite anymore. So when they're coming across. It means a kind of a change in mind and heart, and also the behaviours that come with that. So we need to think that we already have our heavenly citizenship because of Jesus and by what he has done, not through what we do, but those things will be the tell, the clue that we are hidden in him. But we need to remember, as we put those two things together, that the call of earthly things still filters into our life, informs our view of where the good life can be found and it tries to influence us about what our best life is. Notice verse 5 starts with talking about sex and the wrong application of that. It is a great gift from God with a purpose, but there is the pressure of moving away from that purpose. Tom Holland, who wrote the book Dominion, Tom Holland, the historian, not the actor, in the first century, sex was a luxurious power in the hands of the elite. People who owned slaves, they could do what they like with them. God's word was radical, speaking into that time, that sex is for marriage. Men in particular are to be kind to their wives. Monogamy and consent was a way of showing God's commitment, concern and love in unity. And it was radical and it was powerful. Fast forward to now, and we can still see sexual abuse played out in the media, as we've seen in the last week. The answer of our current culture is that, yes, we need consent, but you should be allowed to do whatever you like. And we know that sex should be a joy and we don't want to be a prude, but there's pressure around us to exercise your erotic rights in order to live the best possible life, the picture of what heaven would be like, and to cheer others on even if they're different from us. A friend of mine visited her GP, and the GP was shocked that someone in their 40s hadn't had sex. She is no prude, but she had a vision of how sex works in God's kingdom. Wanted to point to God and his goodness, and that it is more than just about what I can get out of life. We know that sex can be used selfishly as power and a commodity to gain acceptance, to gain security, to fit in, to achieve what we think heaven on earth would be like. And Paul recognised this way of thinking. Remember verse 7, you used to also walk in these ways in the life you once lived. It's part of our DNA, the way we used to think about things. What is a heavenly heart and mind mean? Well, just for you, as you think about where you might be this week and what kind of pressure will come your way, you don't have to make others conform to your behaviour, because that's kind of like a religious way of doing things. If you do things right, you'll achieve heaven. But really, you could say I've got a boutique view on sex, God's way of doing it. But at the same time, there's nothing that God can't redeem, transform, and forgive at Jesus' return. And we need to think about, well, you need to be hidden in Christ, your colleague. That's when change will come. That's when those tells will come out. Are you still hidden in Christ? If you are, you'll seek what is above. You'll seek Jesus' kingdom and know that it has burst into your life, even as we live in the earthly realm. And you have an interest in his kingdom and you are concerned for him. Put off those destructive behaviours and put on the loving, restorative behaviours. This week we've kind of looked at kind of general day-to-day kind of things and what being hidden in Christ will look like with our attitudes and our behaviours. Next week we're going to be taking more of a look at what does it mean for us as we meet together and how that kind of heavenly heart and mind will play out into how we relate to each other. But friends, if you trust Jesus, you are now hidden in Christ. And when Jesus appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that with Christ we've been raised with him and are seated with you in heaven. Lord, help us to capture that picture with our hearts, that everything has been done to secure us to you. And help with our minds to then think about what does that mean for us in our day-to-day. Help us to think about heavenly things and not earthly things, that we could be people whose lives are transformed, that will be different for our good and for the joy of others, who also see who we are, and that they might twig that we are hidden in Christ for Jesus' glory and for our future glory with him. And we thank you for that, and help us to think about that this week. Amen.